Could ChatGPT hijack your next deal? Imagine a seller client just fired you because ChatGPT told them that you were wrong. Sounds crazy, right? But in the real estate industry, it's already happened. In this episode of the Thought Leaders podcast, I'll show you exactly how to protect your deals from getting hijacked by AI and how to turn this supposed threat into your biggest advantage. So welcome to another episode of Thought Leaders, a podcast about the ideas that move the real estate industry forward. I'm Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. Now, I've got to tell you, I am not here to claim a thought leader badge. That's more for the people that I interview on this show. But my job here in these solo episodes, and this is my first solo episode. So after, I think, 500 interviews or something like that on the Elevate podcast and countless more in the magazine, this is the first time that I have taken to the microphone myself, completely out of my comfort zone. So my job still here, I think fundamentally in these solo episodes, though, is to lead the conversation in some of the more tricky topics, particularly as generative AI becomes a part of everything we do at work and in our lives. I will preface this by saying that unfortunately, I can't tell the future or see around corners. It would be a great skill if I could, and you'd all want to hire me. But I am here to raise the questions, switch on the headlights to the big issues so that you can start thinking about some of the ways that the industry is changing. One other thing before we crack on with this episode, if you've caught any of my other work with AI-powered agents over the last couple of years or elsewhere, this feed takes a similar sort of approach, just long form and video instead of in a magazine, but always focused as usual on the content and topics that matter most to the real estate industry. I've often said in a number of my keynotes that whether the client trusts the AI or trusts you is entirely in your hands. And what I mean by that is a lot of consumers are turning to AI for all sorts of things, and we'll talk about those in a second. But if the consumer's getting better answers or quicker answers out of the AI than they can get out of you, it is entirely likely that the consumer will start trusting the AI more than they trust another human. And we know that in the real estate industry, trust is always at a premium, thanks to the mainstream media and the small percentage of the industry that don't do the right thing. Now, this phenomenon is called the DIY AI real estate expert. And how the DIY expert challenges your expertise is they are continually typing things into ChatGPT. They're fact-checking you on social, they're fact-checking contract details, and they're fact-checking your valuations at every single turn. So the inspiration for this podcast came from an actual Reddit post. So let me read you the Reddit post, and then let's break down exactly what's going on here and what you should do if this happens to you. Anyone having this happen? I have a buyer that thinks I'm wrong about everything. I guess they ask ChatGPT and then text me the question and response. They've bought and sold many properties and therefore know what they're talking about. I have been asked if I'm paying the lender a share of my commission. I have been challenged with properties I recommend based on their specific requirements, where they send me some ChatGPT BS about neighborhoods that are totally wrong, as I call to confirm the facts and fees, proving myself. This person just seems to want to prove me wrong at every opportunity and just wants the truth. This is not the buyer, but the buyer's parent contributing gift funds. Every interaction is a challenge, not a question asking to clarify or get more information. Just telling me, oh, I think that's wrong. I've never been treated like this in 15 years. I'm not wrong because you don't know about it and things have changed. Am I taking this too personally? I feel offended, but maybe it's okay they check everything to be a smart shopper. But it's like, check your stuff first and then email me questions, since you know everything anyway. Now, what's really interesting here is some of the comments. So this post went off completely, and you can see that in the comments that there are a lot of things like, you know, fire the client, walk away, tell them to use ChatGPT to view the home and write the offer and just pay you a referral fee. Sounds like you're really unhappy with my service or don't trust my experience. Might be best for you to work with a different agent. And there are other ways that you might see this pop up. For example, as I said before, social media fact checking. So clients commenting on market updates with actually according to ChatGPT dot dot dot, or open house confrontations. So prospects arrive with AI generated questions challenging you to answer them on the spot or challenging you to answer them over a period of time. And then another example might be tenants with maintenance disputes. So they're using AI to argue about repair responsibilities and or timelines using ChatGPT as their de facto lawyer, if you like. As I said before, this is a fundamental shift. It's not going away about how consumers view expertise and authority in every aspect of their lives. So, you know, from medical diagnosis, you know, I have these symptoms, ChatGPT, tell me what's wrong with me, to legal advice, which I did myself recently, actually. There was a contract that I wanted to get out of and I got Claude's advice on it and I followed Claude's advice and ended up getting out of the contract. Other examples might be things like personal training plans, advice for how to train your pets, recipes, which I've often done. I use ChatGPT now as the authority for what's in the fridge and what I can do with it. And of course, real estate, where definitely in the US, you know, there's a lot of posts on Reddit about this phenomenon. And, you know, if it hasn't happened to you here, it's likely to happen in the future. So why this matters? Fundamentally, trust is the foundation of your business. So when ChatGPT becomes a client's go-to advisor, your authority and ability to guide the transaction actually shrinks. Just one AI response that's different to something that you're saying could plant seeds of doubt that might undermine months of relationship building, particularly, you know, if you get defensive about the client's use of ChatGPT. And I will say this, it's not a niche issue. We've just been through a number of industries where this is happening. ChatGPT has hundreds of millions of active users and growing rapidly, like growing by the hour at times, especially when they introduced that new image generator and everyone started creating those Barbie pictures of themselves. And I think, you know, being prepared for your AI savvy clients now is a good thing to be thinking about, because you want to be able to be developing your strategy for these AI-informed conversations. So if you're not informing yourself about AI, it's not too late. Now is the time to start getting informed so that you have responses. And that's what we're going to go through some ideas in this podcast. So this is all based on the fact that the information balance, or my theory on this, is that the information balance has changed again. So agents who once controlled access to sales data and market insights, that was before the internet. Then the internet came along and changed that. And now with AI, clients can generate what looks like expert analysis in seconds. And it might not be accurate, but that doesn't matter. If they're trusting the AI is doing the right thing by them, they will believe it. And so I think this means, again, that we need to fundamentally shift our approach, because once they are armed with that information, they're free to bring it to any transaction or any interaction with you, and you want to be prepared. If you're not prepared, you know, it has the potential for disaster. So one wrong claim about zoning fees, and we know that ChatGPT still, or not just ChatGPT, but any AI hallucinates if something's wrong there, and then they go and check it and ChatGPT says another thing. It can spook lenders or worry building inspectors. If there is some sort of hallucination around something like an easement or something like that, it could even derail the whole deal. So once you've presented some wrong information, or someone's presented some wrong information to you, then all bets are off and it's really hard to build that trust again. So this is a diagram for those of you that are watching the video. For those of you that might be listening to this instead of watching the video, check out the YouTube video. So this is a triangle that I often show in my presentations, which shows how the consumer views you. So anything you put in front of the consumer these days, they might be looking at it and evaluating it with the lens of, is this AI? Is this AI plus person? Or is this a human giving me this information? And there's a clear AI line between the bottom half of the triangle and the top. And so what I say to my students and the people that have done my workshops is, you always want to be above the AI line. You always want to be providing some insight or information that is above and beyond what the consumer can get for themselves. Now, I actually think that, you know, for the situation we're talking about, the triangle changes. So, you know, down the bottom, we've got information, and the real value at the moment isn't accessing information anymore. Like, you know, it's not like the olden days where we all had to go to the library to access Encyclopedia Britannica to get any research done. Now we can actually go online to the AI and get anything we need with a tap, tap, tap on a command prompt. But if the real value isn't in accessing information anymore, what is it in? And I think it's in two things. So one is in curation and analysis. So you've got to actually be able to take information and work out what's important to your customers, or work out what that information actually means to your customers. And then the top of the pyramid is insights. So what I mean by that is, what does that information all mean? And so I think the role of the agent is definitely, if it's not now, it won't be too long, where your real value isn't in being an information provider. You'll be moving more into a role of being an insight specialist. So the insights that you provide that are over and above the publicly available information is what's going to make the consumer feel like they trust you and that you have their back. So let's go back to the reactions from the other realtors on the original Reddit post. And a lot of them were saying, oh, I'd fire the client immediately, or, you know, tell them to buy a house from ChatGPT. And on the whole, they're defensive reactions. And I think being defensive about these things only makes the client more suspicious that you feel threatened by them or threatened by the AI. And again, that's kind of leading to, you know, a place of conflict where nothing is going to sort itself out. And here's the thing. I don't know too many people that would fire a client without an extremely good reason to. One, because, you know, the cost of living has increased so much and most of us need the money. And so this was the comment that the original poster left in response to some of those comments that said, fire the client. I need the money, so I'll just bite my tongue until closing in December. Just venting. Can I just say, venting on Reddit, unless you're anonymous, is probably not a good idea anyway, but because Reddit also is searchable and this was very easy for me to find. So here's the plan. Here is how we're going to deal with these AI experts. So the first strategy that I've got for you is to educate them early. So I want you to think about how you're going to proactively address AI limitations, and I'm going to give you some scripts and dialogues for that shortly. Establish professional parameters, not just emotional ChatGPT doesn't know everything or something like that. Demonstrate to your clients better AI use. And then if all else fails, perhaps a relationship reset before you walk. So they are four ways that we are going to deal with the AI experts. Now, how do you identify the AI expert? So first of all, we need to know what we're dealing with here. And I think there are a couple of telltale signs in spotting the AI DIY expert. So if a client starts sending you these oddly formal emails with overly technical terminology or overly verbose words that they've never used before, or challenging you maybe with suspiciously detailed but incorrect information, that's probably when you've got a DIY expert on your hands. This is when you need to start thinking about how to respond strategically and with grace. First of all, here are some ideas. Strategy number one for me is to acknowledge and knowledge. First of all, acknowledge their research, meaning you can say you appreciate their thoroughness without questioning their sources. You can then move forward into demonstrating some local value or some hyperlocal insights that are unavailable to the AI, and there's still some of those, and then offer exclusive information. So you don't have to use these as, you know, word for word scripts or anything, but here is something that you could say to the client if confronted with the ChatGPT expert. So it could be something like, I appreciate how thorough you're being with your research. What helps my clients make confident decisions is combining online information with hyperlocal insights only come from being on the ground every day. For example, that development that you mentioned actually had its plans modified last month. The council only published the changes on their internal portal, which most online sources wouldn't have access to yet. Would you find it valuable if I sent you my weekly insider briefing on local market changes that aren't widely reported? So that is an example of you acknowledging their research without questioning the source. And again, demonstrating your unique value and offering to fill information gaps. So you're being useful, you're not being confrontational or any of those things. The other thing I just want to point out is if you want to read more about this sort of approach, Phil M. Jones and Chris Smith and Jimmy Mackin wrote a book called Exactly What to Say for Real Estate Agents. And in it, they talk about magic words and phrases. And so, you'll notice that some of the phrases that I'm using are things that I've learned from that book. So, you know, for example, that development you mentioned actually had its plans modified last month, blah, blah, blah. Would it be valuable? No one's probably going to say no, that wouldn't be valuable. So that's one of those magic word kind of things. And that book is available on Amazon.com. We'll leave a link for it in the show notes. So that's strategy number one, a bit of subtle education. And of course, for members of our Spark community, these slides and some additional resources will be available for you at spark.eliteagent.com. And just a little plug for our Spark community. This is one of the many exclusive resources that our Spark members get access to. So if you're listening rather than watching on YouTube or Spotify, the link for the Spark community will also be in the show notes. Now, strategy number two is offering to collaborate. So again, we're going to appreciate the client's diligence. We're going to suggest a partnership. So when you find information, let's get together to make a stronger strategy overall. And what you might say is you might say something like, I love how thorough you are with your research. Again, that's acknowledging their work and their efforts in this. And say something like, that kind of diligence exactly makes for great outcomes. Let's make this work for both of us. When you find interesting information, how about we explore it together? That way I can factor your findings into my local market analysis and we can build an even stronger strategy. That's one approach. Or another approach might be, I've noticed we sometimes get our information from different sources. That's pretty common in real estate. Markets move fast and data sources can sometimes be behind. Would it be helpful? And again, this is one of those magic words. Would it be helpful if I walked you through how I verify information? I'd love to show you some of the local resources I use that even the AI doesn't have access to yet. So the magic here again is not about making the client wrong. It's about embracing their experience and their decision-making power and working together. Because the last thing that you want is you and a vendor or you and a buyer at loggerheads. Strategy number three is where your own AI training comes in. So here's where you want to show the client that you are more than just a couple of prompts. So I actually study how AI works in real estate. Would you like to see how I use it as part of my professional toolkit? If you've done the complete conversion system, you'll know that I have a workflow that's all about working out the buyer persona first to be able to create better listing descriptions, to be able to create a better marketing plan. And it is in these types of workflows where you can really impress the clients with both your knowledge and your preparation when it comes to being in an appraisal situation. The second thing is you might want to showcase some expert prompting. So prompts are really easy to put into ChatGPT. You can just type anything you like and the model will answer. But here's the thing. If your prompts are well constructed, you will get a much better response out of the AI than you would if it was just an all over the place kind of prompt. So it is very true that if you put garbage into a large language model, you'll get garbage out of it, like the old 80s term, garbage in, garbage out. And I think it was Tony Robbins who said, the quality of your life will be dictated by the quality of your questions. And I think in this age of AI, it's never been more true. Like these days, you know, 2.5 years ago, I was putting very simple things into ChatGPT. And I can tell now from going back through AI powered agents and looking at some of the original blog posts that we've come so far in 2.5 years. And I look at some of the prompts that I'm using now and I think, wow, you know, like what a big change. So anyway, you might want to structure something like this. Obviously, if you give ChatGPT a role, it's going to be better. So you're a property valuer with 20 years of experience in whatever suburb, Broadbeach Waters. Consider recent flood impacts, the transit corridor, demographic shifts when analyzing 123 Smith Street. And obviously, you'll get a different response to what do you think the value of 120 Smith Street is. And then thirdly, add your own insight and analysis on the top of that. So this is this moving up the triangle. See how different that response is from a basic query. Now let me add my local knowledge about the school rezoning that happened last month, something the AI doesn't know yet. And then you can feed that into the model and you'll get a different and more refined result yet again. So the moral to the story once again is that a top agent will position themselves as an AI savvy professional who enhances the technology rather than competes with it. And they'll make the client feel smart using the AI while demonstrating why their own professional guidance matters. And that is, I think, the really important thing in all of this. Finally, if none of that works, you have got one strategy left, which is strategy number four, which is the relationship reset. And even if you know, things haven't been great with your vendor or your investor or any of that sort of thing, it's often been said that you can actually pull this back to an even more positive relationship than it was if you can impress the heck out of them. Now, I'm not saying that you need to be agreeable with a vendor or a buyer if they're wrong. What I'm saying is sometimes being able to constructively challenge someone and show leadership, when clients see you as a more collaborative resource, they're more likely to value your expertise. So here is the final reset script. So I can see you're incredibly thorough in your research, which I really respect. My most successful clients combine their research skills with my hyperlocal knowledge. And if you'd like to continue working together, I need to be able to fully advocate for your interests using my professional judgment. Would you like to hear how that partnership could work? And I guess, you know, if they say no to that, well, maybe it is time to walk away. But at least you'll have tried. So this approach, again, validates the client's methods. It maintains your professional integrity, and it also creates clear expectations. So the takeaway for you, I want to be positioning yourself as an AI-savvy professional who enhances technology rather than competes with it. I think there comes a time in every salesperson's life that you have to show some sort of leadership in situations like this. The client isn't always right, but, you know, like if you can collaborate with them and work with them to come up with a better solution, then all round it's going to be a better result. Now for the final bit, otherwise known as strategic implementation. So I'm going to give you another four tips. So the first tip is to start integrating awareness of AI into your listing presentations, not with panic or alarm, but with the quiet confidence we've been talking about. So let me show you how I blend technology with human expertise to deliver an ultimate outcome. No need to mention AI directly, just demonstrate that you're being proactive and you're a forward-thinking, tech-savvy agent. The second thing is to create a library of local knowledge soundbites. What I mean by that are snippets like, okay, so the Western Corner units in Bayview Towers get 40% less sunlight than the units on the eastern side. And that's not reflected in floor plans or price points. So what I'm saying here is that clients don't want an agent with data. They want an agent with insights that they don't have. Because remember, the information is already at their fingertips. The other thing is what I've been doing here is practicing my verbal pattern interrupts. So don't get defensive when you're challenged. You might try other pattern interrupts, which you might have learned in objection handling school. A client says something that's a bit weird. You might say, well, that's an interesting perspective. Tell me more. Or you could say something like, that's interesting. The actual data tells us, and then, you know, and then follow through with what you've got as proof. Thirdly, it might be, okay, that's some cool research, but online tools often miss local nuances. Can I show you? You are actually sort of just interrupting the pattern of what could end up as conflict. And then finally, I think there's a content strategy here too, which is debunking ChatGPT myths. So maybe get the iPhone out and make some shorts or reels correcting the top five ChatGPT myths about your suburb. People love to see myths corrected, or at least find out what they didn't know or what they think they do know. So that would be another strategy and some clever things to post on social media. Some final thoughts. I think, you know, like I always end my podcast by asking my guests one thing that people should do or take away from each podcast. And I think for this one, it is choosing one strategy. So I've given you quite a lot of strategies to think about. So how you might subtly start talking about how you use AI, putting together some neighborhood sound bites, putting together some videos, debunking ChatGPT myths. It could be the one about practicing your pattern interrupts, but just choose one strategy from this episode and let me know how you go with it. And of course, the YouTube community love to see comments. So if any of this resonated with you, please leave me a comment below or leave me a comment on Spotify or wherever you pick up your podcasts. So let's wind it up with some resources that we have available. So for our Spark Premium members, we have the slides and the scripts from this episode, plus a PDF on how to handle AI-informed clients in our May members drop. We have a free course. If you're just starting your journey in AI, we have a free 5-day crash course, which will help you eliminate some of the mistakes that I've seen other agents making in use AI. That's at aicourse.eliteagent.com. AIpoweredagents.com is, of course, where I put all the latest AI news that's relevant to real estate so that you don't have to feel overwhelmed by the huge number of AI news stories that break every day. And then contact details, you can email me, samantha@eliteagent.com.au, if you've got an AI question that you'd like me to answer, or even if you'd like to give me some feedback on this episode. So that's it for my first solo podcast episode. I hope that that was interesting and informative to you. And I'd like to end with, you know, one thought, and that is to remember that in a world of artificial intelligence, whether the consumer trusts you or the AI is entirely in your hands. I'm Samantha McLean, and this is the Thought Leaders Podcast. I will see you very, very soon.